Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vaughn's Cool Ranch flavor and Nacho Cheese flavor. That's two Vaughn's. We all use the he, him pronouns. Today, Nacho Cheese, well, he's just trying to read his own notes. Cool Ranch is sharpening his pointy things.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And Jesse's gotten down to business and done all of the montages. And now when she's introduced, you hear like a little weird fanfare sound. Like she's really coming on the battlefield.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, currently melded with Weldroa. With Sidroa, the goo creature, and we are known as Weldroa, and we'll handle any pronouns that you throw at us, and I use they, them. Wealthy is currently counting her spells and wondering if she's going to make it through the day.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist / mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold pilot. We all use he, him pronouns. And we're ready to do this.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on our podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast to listen to as well. Last episode, we did a bunch of tactics, and now we get to see how they paid off. All right.
We all agreed that you didn't need a recap.
Yes.
It wasn't a very long episode. Go back and listen to it if you're confused.
It's a nice brisk pace.
We love you, and we support the choices that you make on how to use your time.
Yes. All right.
I mean, you're listening now, so...
We especially support that choice. Okay. So today's the day. The day you're going to land, and all of you are out on the plazas in front of the arcs.
Is it just going to take one day to land?
I mean, if it takes more than that, you're probably going to be having a pretty bad day.
Well, it may only take one day to land, but it's probably going to take several days to fight off the
Well, the shield's going to go back up, so...
Well. Okay.
Yes. So you're all currently under a shimmering blue shield that encapsulates the arcs in a giant sphere. You are a very special marble, and you're going through a foggy day. You can see it. Some of it washes through. Some of it peels around the arcs. And yeah, so your group is up front because you all are very brave.
That's us.
And yep. By group, I mean... Jesse, Cool Ranch, Fawns, and Weldroa. Weldroa being, of course, as is normal, in a giant mech suit. It's pearlescent white. It stands out.
It stands out. I could probably rub a little dirt in it, but, you know.
I mean, you're on a giant plaza made of whitish stone, so you blend right in. The plazas are big and wide. There's an upper and lower one, tiled. They're very nice. There's some colonnades up towards the door and scattered around. And there's a bit of wind today, but overall it's been pretty clear. Grix, you are in a very different space. You are down in a room of sickly green crystal that covers the walls and floors and ceilings with a man who is mostly wall at this point, except for his torso, most of his arms, not including the hands, and his head, as well as a bipedal, very pointy, very kind of vicious looking, and very tall crystalline creature whose name is Jones and seems to be fairly nice.
Cool.
Also, I imagine that you are suited up in protective gear so you don't, you know, die.
Probably.
Yeah. So your breath echoes a little bit in your ears.
Is this because of the core and the thing that we had to deal with?
Because you're in the helm, so.
Helm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Helm is always dangerous, pretty much. Yeah. So. That said, you are one quick teleport away from getting back up to command. The circle is just down the hallway, albeit through a couple doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nacho Cheese Vaughns.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Major, as the doors are being set to be closed, is asking you a very important question. In or out? In or out?
I don't know. Shut up. He's just holding on to the door.
Vaughns, are you going to be inside or outside?
Yes.
Bonds. Make a wisdom check.
Oh no. This is where it all goes awry. Oh, he made a 20. Plus
12. Oh, nat 20?
Yeah, nat 20. Inside would be safer.
Fine.
But if you're outside, people will probably think you're very brave. Also, you can fight alongside the Great Scarello, and that is an honor all of its own.
Yeah, but okay. Okay, so he's going to be just outside the door, but he's going to be like very ready to ask to be let back in.
You're not going to be let back in.
That's not a thing.
Oh no. Now he's very scared, but he'll be outside.
Bonds goes out, the door closes. He sniffs the air briefly, and then he scratches at the door.
Yes, exactly.
Enough outside time.
Yeah.
You are in the shelter of the, there's an overhang in front of the door a little bit where the mountain hangs over. It is in fact shaped like itself in that description. And you've gone and you've sold some things out here once upon a time, although it was a much nicer day. So, and yeah.
It's like, yeah, describe the weather out here. We're literally outside.
Yes. So you're down in the clouds, so it is foggy. It is cold and it is windy.
I immediately regret this.
Yes. Which, Steamboat.
Uh-huh.
You're up with the flyers. You have your usual bird folk of various sorts. You got your wizards who like their fly spells. You also have two dragons, one on either side of you.
Oh, is the teen there too?
Local teen, aka Sarah, if I remember right, teenage silver dragon, apparently is busy doing that isekai thing.
She came, you know, there's a reason that you don't remember that, because that was at the time that you were taking a break, and we were in that other...
It's from the same encounter that Jones is from, where they were in the abandoned research facility and getting stalked by an Oculus.
And somebody cast a spell to, like, that opened a portal, and a teen silver dragon, came through the portal and helped us. Maybe it was summoned. But her name is Sarah, and she is very over it.
She's excited to be here. She's also too cool to be excited. How dare you?
Yes, exactly.
And Shield is a very large bronze dragon. Probably not the oldest you can get, but close. And so the wind whips past you. You think you can compensate for it? You are, after all, a professional pilot of your glider / squirrel suit. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting day. So all of you are standing there, and you're getting ready for the shields to come down. Grix, because it has been pointed out that you weren't there for this, Jones is a crystal creature who is, well, a person or soul that has been put into a crystal that is a functioning animate creature made of jagged crystal, and also a whole bunch of other people in various states of completeness, because sometimes the only plan you have for trying to evacuate people who are about to die is not a good plan, but you went for it anyway. That said, that means there's a lot of bandwidth in there to try to help land this thing. They're going to be helping Calvin, the last remaining conscious pilot.
Okay.
And I imagine Fine Humanoid lasts a while, right?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure how early you're going to cast it.
Let me just double check that I've got it up. Wait, that's not what it's called. Humanoid Finding.
Ah.
Oh, only 1 minute per level.
Okay. So you'll probably be waiting until you're pretty low to the ground.
Yeah.
In that case, would you rather be... The only issue is that if you're outside, getting back in a timely fashion might be tricky. But I also figure you don't want to be parked in here the entire time.
That's true. I don't think it would take that long to get back inside, since, you know, some of the locks and all the stuff I can get through just fine.
The main thing is we'll have to go in through one of the medevac side doors. But if they know that's the plan, you can have like a special knock or something. And
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's how I would definitely want to do it.
Okay. In that case, do you want to be up in the front ranks with Jesse, Cool Ranch, and Will Joe?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be in? Okay. All right. So you're there, but you're ready to get back in at any time. Uh-huh. Well, at a dead run. These plazas are pretty big, but yeah. Okay. So everything is tense. as you're lowering down, you have rows and rows and rows. Basically, all the guardians have shown up for this, far more than are usually out, because they're pulling, not all of, but a lot of their reserve crews just to have more people out, because in theory, this shouldn't take an incredibly long amount of time from when you kill the shield to when you're on the ground and reactivate it again, so they don't have to worry about, you know, over a day's worth of endurance as a fighting force. So they're all in rows. You guys are your own little squad, presumably shoulder to shoulder in the front rank, but you have a bunch of people around you as well. And this is more people than you've ever seen on the plaza at any given time. And you all have the unsettling sensation of the arcs starting to lower.
All right.
Feeling a bit light on our feet.
Yeah. Yes. Does anybody else feel like they weigh less right now?
No. Haven't you ever felt like you were, I don't think so.
I imagine it feels like an elevator that's just started to go down.
Yeah.
Like it levels out after a second. But it feels weird for that first little bit.
Yeah. So you start lowering. And it wasn't a beautiful day. But you were not expecting the lightning.
Oh, God.
Which hits the shield out of nowhere.
I want back in now.
And grounds itself out on a point on the mountain. And then up towards the peak. Perhaps hitting a keychain that has been buried in a shallow hidey hole. And then the booming peal of thunder that shakes you down to your lungs. And that's when it starts pouring rain.
Does the rain get through the shield?
Yes.
And for that matter, did the... Yeah. And for that matter, did the...
That's what I was trying to figure out, actually.
Like, because would the lightning have gotten through the shield?
My only question to you, I guess, is how do you all think you're going to get water if the rain does not come through your shield? After you're on the ground and encased.
Deep wells.
Oh, yes, the California strategy.
I mean...
Pipe it in. The Phoenix strategy.
And the California strategy. And several other places. It's going great.
I guess we would probably have, figured out a way to allow the,
Yeah, because you'll...
I would think we would have allowed the water to come through, but any, lightning or something like that, it would disperse over...
I would think that we'd just get water the same way we used to get water when we were above the clouds.
That was... Well, you have a water cycle, but also you used rain to replenish it, so...
Yeah, I think the water we get through.
Okay.
So
the water gets
the,
through.
The slow knife penetrates the shield.
There you go.
Yes. Yes, I like that.
Mm-hmm. At least while you're on the ground, because you don't want the corruption to be able to push through it, but yes. Yeah, let's say the water gets through, you guys fine-tuned it. The lightning does scatter across it. I was worried about it affecting your call lightning plan, but if the shields are lowered by then, it doesn't matter. And visibility drops severely, and you are all very quickly soaked, and the plaza is now slick with water, and some puddles are starting to form. You think you've hit that sweet spot because the shield lowers, and in front of you, from below the edge of the plazas, you see several... enormous bird seems like too small of a word.
But
giant rocks, the kind of bird that can swoop down and pick up an elephant, just fly up, but they seem slower than you would expect and going a little more vertically than you'd normally expect. And as this all starts, you realize that they are in pairs and lifting what for all the world look like giant wooden cargo containers holding chains in their claws or in their talons. To keep them aloft.
So we're right next to the,
I'm going
to
say you're 50 feet back. Like you're not.
No. What I was going to say is if the shields have gone off, does that mean that we're that close to landing?
You guys were saying that you're probably going to lower the shield 400 feet up because you wanted to launch the ship. So.
Okay. So we're
close-ish to landing.
So we're very close to landing.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
And or we didn't fully narrate us standing out there for a long period of time.
Sure.
And we're probably the arcs is probably 3,000 feet high? And we're probably standing about 1,000 feet up.
Yeah, it occurs to me that actually the arc sticks out for a mile below ground if you get to the bottom tip, so I guess 400 feet up is relative. You're 400 feet up from the bottom of the arcs. hitting everything. The time until you actually get the plaza level is going to be much longer.
Okay. That's just, I was like...
No, that was an important point. Yeah.
Also, if we're already in position, does Grix need to do humanoid finding at this point?
So, you know, you are roughly in position. I think the idea is that you will start, you need to adjust, and Frymeath also arranged to, in part because he didn't want to be trying to hide out in the open completely.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to hide in the tunnel where you, the same one that Nacho Cheese Vons was exploring.
Okay.
In the dreamscape. And so the idea is you can also rotate the arcs so it roughly lines up with its original position.
And he would have known before he went down, like, which exact direction that was.
Yes.
Presumably. Okay, great.
Yeah, he could have even have gone in from the supply stash side.
Okay.
Which he may well have done.
I just wanted to make sure that that all was very clear because I all of a sudden was like, why did we even need find humanoid finding if that was going to be that easy?
Yeah, it's mostly for the final alignment. So.
Okay.
Actually, I guess that's a good point. Grix, they're this close to kind of the bottom part slotting in. Do you want to be on the helm?
Oh, yeah. If we're this close now, I would definitely go down. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured you guys are keeping the shield on as long as possible.
I thought shit was going to happen before that. So, but yeah, no, that works for me.
Yeah. I think you wait to lower the shield until you're close enough.
Yeah, nothing's attacking us.
Yeah. But all right. So these giant rocks are coming up. They're carrying giant containers. And do any of you all want to try anything?
How far away are they?
They are coming up basically right in front of the plaza.
Okay.
So that's 75 feet away?
Let's say 50.
50 feet away.
And they're giant rocks.
Yes. Giant eagles. And they're carrying...
Oh, god damn it. You say rocks and I keep thinking rocks.
Rocks is an ROC. Rocks is in the giant
birds of prey.
You're familiar with these.
I know what rocks are. I just, when Ian says rocks, I think rocks, as in, you know,
stones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, rocks, you know.
All right. Let's actually roll initiative.
That's an 8.
All right. Grix?
Grix got an 8. Steamboat got a 9.
Jesse?
7.
And Fonz's.
Nacho got a 2, and Cool Ranch got a 10.
Okay. So these rocks are moving pretty fast. So I'm going to, well, relatively speaking. So they've risen above. You see the container. You're not sure what they're going to do with it, but they have about a roundish until it's level enough with the plaza. They could presumably fly forward. So you have a round to try to do something about these rocks and or their container. Cool Ranch.
Couldn't help but think of whether these are African rocks or European rocks carrying these giant coconuts between them on a line. I mean, how does a melee character prepare for...
I believe you stated you borrowed a light crossbow from someone.
Oh, right. He borrowed a light crossbow that Nacho Flavor found. Are they in shooting range?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That said, the wind is picking up. So,
the rain is
limiting visibility. So, at some point here, shooting might get harder, but depends on how much the weather intensifies.
All the same, I think maybe we all want to fire the first volley at once. Is there a captain or something like that we're looking to at the moment?
Due to the magic of turn-based combat. You can just assume that you're firing at the same time as everyone else.
Okay.
Let's say that would actually be a pretty good reason for why you all didn't shoot as soon as you see this thing's head, is that everyone is going to be firing. That said, there's several, rock pairs, probably at least 10, spread all across the plaza, so the amount of fire able to be concentrated on any one of them is not super high. But yeah, so you can fire when ready and when they command you. And you are commanded.
Okay. Well, guess we shoot now.
All right. Roll your attack roll.
Pew. Oh, dang. Another natural 20.
All right.
I assume that hits.
Oh, yeah.
I like it because I don't have to do math.
Always a good thing. So, Yeah, roll your attack roll. Or roll your damage roll, and you're going to double it.
And double it. Hold on, I'm looking for my sheet. And I don't think I have my crossbow on. Or my little bow, I don't think I have it on here.
That kind of makes sense. It was discussed as part of the poisoning discussion.
Right.
Should be just a d6.
Yeah, I believe that's... Yes.
Well, got a little d6 right here. And it says I rolled a 6. Ooh, we're rolling hot today.
Yeah, so that doubles to 12. And yeah, I guess that's flat. Do you want to hit the rock on the left or the right?
Which side of the group am I on? I imagine we'd be instructed on this.
You all do your orange PC vest are roughly centered. And
I'm more or less in the middle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's go for the one on the left.
Okay. So you do 12 damage. Strike true. I'm going to say it's actually your group that's instructed to. Yeah. Okay. So, Cool Ranch, you go, you fire, and you hit it square on. Steamboat.
Yeah.
It is presumably time to launch.
Yeah, probably. We have a lot of other flyers who are going up too, so I'm not just alone.
Correct.
Okay. Great. Then, yeah, I'll launch and I'll head towards one of the rocks.
All right. You are very high up because on the basically highest ridge above the door, or the door area, there is also a large platform built on top of that for the lighter ones of you. So you take a running leap and deploy your glider and your squirrel suit. And yeah, you start just, you know, diving through the air.
Sweet.
Imagine get moving pretty fucking fast by the end of it.
Sure.
But okay.
Yeah.
And then what are you aiming for at the moment?
I'm aiming for one of the rocks.
Okay. One of the rocks that's like... going the same one your friends are going for?
Well, probably not, because I don't want them to shoot me.
Yeah,
so I'll go for a different one.
Let's say, well, the archers know not to shoot you in general, but...
Okay.
And they're going to be shooting at all of these rocks. So it's more a question like, do you want to try to do like a big loop around and try to hit a bunch of stuff on your way? Do you want to just go back up your friends directly and kind of a dead charge?
Dead charge. Yeah.
Okay. So you zoom across. I'm going to say... Shield peels off to the right to cover the flanks. And I think local teen will stay with you.
Okay.
All right. Well, Droa.
Uh-huh. I am probably standing towards the middle, so I'm going to shoot him with fireball.
Okay.
My range is 450 feet. They are well within range.
They are.
And I have a small piece of coal. And I am going to throw it. The explosion fills the area of effect with intense fire and heat, causing 1d6 damage per caster level to all creatures and objects within the area.
What is the AOE?
The ALE?
AOE. Area of effect.
Area of effect. It says, wait. The heightened distance the caster desires, as long as it is within the spell's maximum range.
Right, but it has a radius.
450 feet.
No.
That's the range for hitting. What size is the explosion?
It doesn't say there's a radius. It says... I'm sorry. A 40-foot diameter sphere.
3 foot or 30 feet?
40 foot.
40 foot. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So you should be able to catch both of them in this fireball. So you go and you cast Fireball.
1d6.
I believe they get saving throws. Maybe? Is this a reflex for half situation?
It just says explosion fills the area of effect with intense fire and heat, causing 1d6 damage per caster level to all creatures and objects within the area. It ignites combustibles, damages objects, and melts anything with low enough melting point. The explosion creates almost pressure.
At the top it says save dexterity half. So
okay,
that's what I was looking for. All right, so I'll roll the saving throws real quick. And you are currently level 12.
Oh, the gauntlets of the construct are pulled away, so that my goo hands are free.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. Okay, so roll your damage.
All right.
That'll be 12d6.
1, 2.
A modest amount.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 51.
Fascinating. Wow. All right. So you do 51 damage. The rocks manage to twist, so they're taking the damage across their backs, so it's a little less painful for them. I mean, not that the corruption seems to feel pain, but you know. It's the thought that counts. And so you said, sorry, 50 damage? 51?
51. Okay. It kind of sucks for...
You would have killed the vast majority of things.
You did at the upper, towards the upper end of that damage.
Yeah. 12 times 6 is, I was thinking higher than, I was thinking 12 times 12 for some reason, but 72, yeah, I did it towards the upper range.
Okay. So you don't take down either of the rocks. However, I am going to say that the container they are carrying, well, tough, it doesn't get a reflex saving throw. You did a shit ton of damage. So I'm going to say that you seem to have blown the roof off of it, or the top section. The chains are barely hanging on because they were also anchored to the sides, or anchored in a couple places, but you feel like you can hear the wood creaking from here.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining bits of the container are also on fire. So there is now a giant flaming container heading towards you.
But I bet it takes both rocks to hold it up too. So
Mm-hmm. Do
either of the rocks look weaker than the other?
With the corruption, it's always very difficult to tell. So no.
Oh, then I'm going to vote. I mean, if I'm near the captain or whatever, whoever's coordinating these strikes, I would suggest that we concentrate fire on the left one.
Okay. All right. Grix?
Mm-hmm?
The pilots look to you for direction now that it's time to try to nail down the rotation so they can start and, you know, do a little shift left, shift right. It's like Tetris, right? You know? Just in individual squares. So.
Oh, for the navigation? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cast my spell.
Okay. Make an intelligence check.
Okay. Can do that. 16.
Total?
Yeah. Yeah, not super awesome.
Grix, you realize that you were so certain you had your sense of direction figured out about where that one tunnel is relative to here. And now you're not sure you do. So.
It's different being in the middle of a mountain.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be easy. But so you go and you are trying to get yourself reoriented. Go on, never eat shredded wheat to yourself. And trying to figure out which way is actually north in mountain orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So you stumble. You're nervous. It makes sense. That said, you do know where you are relative to Frymeath, and so assuming that he is in appropriate position, you know you're close, but again, your directions are a little messed up, so they're going to slow down for, or you're just going to kind of lower directly, and you'll try to recorrect next round.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Jesse, you're up.
Jesse will draw her bow and attack the rock that, you know, the left rock.
Yep.
That is a 13. Or sorry, that's a 29 total. I rolled a 16 plus 13 for my long compound bow.
All right. You go, you aim, you wait for a small break in the wind, and exhale and fire. And you hit this thing right in the chest. Roll your damage.
It's a D8. Woo. Plus 2. So that's 6.
Okay. I'm going to say that y'all's the people around you are going to put their stuff in at the end of the round. All right. So Jesse, you go, you fire, you hit, see a bunch of other arrows flying towards it. The rocks go. Their container seems like it's about to break. Also appears to be on fire. They pull up and inelegantly toss it onto the front of the arcs.
Uh-oh.
Which sure seems like probably not the original plan. And yeah, so there is now a giant flaming container in front of you. And yeah, so it burns at you. as the rocks look like they're starting to, they've dropped the chains and look like they're starting to turn around, but they haven't, you know, left yet because it took most of their movement to haul that thing up there. Nacho cheese fonts. Make a wisdom check.
Here goes nothing. Rolling a 13, I think, puts that at a 25.
Okay. You see this thing coming. From somewhere above you is dropping another one of these very large containers. And I mean dropping.
Oh.
Well, poop.
Whatever was carrying this, just, you know, lined it up like dropping a bouncy ball and let her rip. It is going to land on a whole bunch of people.
No, no.
If you do not warn them. Because you appear to have seen it first.
Oh, how did I see this first?
You were praying.
You rolled a 25. I mean, you know.
You rolled a 25. You were praying to the gods you're not sure you believe in. Eyes turned skywards.
Stupid cloud gods.
They never help you out when you need them.
All right, so relative to Vaughn's, is this thing... still above?
It's not up. It will not drop directly on you. It's going to drop about 20 feet in front of you.
Oh, okay. So it's like 20 feet in front of me, and how far up?
Probably like it's going to hit next round.
Mm-hmm.
So but you need to give all those people a chance to move.
Yeah.
Is it in projectile range?
No. I would say it's probably too high up. I'm not going to do all the math on what terminal velocity is for a box this size, but.
Oh, yeah. So, like, at the speed that it's falling, or about to be falling, and the speed at which one of my projectiles might make it up to it, we don't know yet.
What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking, I'm not sure exactly what yet, but that thing needs to be on fire or some kind of damaged. So
it's going to fall on a bunch of people. That is the thing that you are seeing.
Well, sure, but yelling is like, is that a free action?
Yes always.
then we're definitely going to yell, but while we're yelling, we might as well also shoot something at it.
All right. A whole bunch of people start making a hole.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to yell and point the thing out and let them figure out their strategy from there, but... right now, the rocks that are holding it, I assume it's rocks carrying it?
So like, it looks like it's been physically dropped. There's no flyers attached to it at this point. Yeah, sorry.
And the flyers are just gone. We don't have
Yeah, it looks like they were still kind of up in the clouds. And or maybe dipped back down, which would explain why the flying regiments didn't see them.
Oh, super cute. All right. Well, let's see what we've got to load into the thingy to... if it's going to land next round, you say?
Yeah.
Then
probably at the end of this round.
That gives me time to load whatever I want into my sandwich shooter.
And... yeah. If you want to wait to fire. If you want to fire, like, when it presumably opens, or just when it's there on the ground next to you, you can do that for sure.
I feel like firing at a crate that's on its way down, is they're going to be shielded from the shot, but...
yeah. All right, what are you loading in?
Well, let's see. Oh, while they're all clustered up, maybe a call lightning would be a good move.
Because,
that thing's going to crack open and they'll be all in a clump. So let's do it.
That's the one that keeps going for a long time. And
yeah, you get to pull one down. So you'd have a call lightning going in front of the door.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going
to... that has enough movement range. You don't even have to load it. You're 20 feet away. You can just throw it in the now open spot on the ground.
Oh, sure.
Where it's going to land.
Yeah, I could just saturate the ground with it once I'm certain everybody's on a trajectory out of the way.
Yeah, I'm going to say that people move. And so if you want to put it down, I'll say you can basically put it down this round and call the lightning once it lands.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably do that pretty much automatically, right? Like as soon as it's all splishy splashed on the ground, it'll just.
Yeah, it's more that I'm letting you do it this round because they're going to be slightly squidgy about when it lands, but basically the thing will open and then they whatever is in there, either the container or whatever is in there, will be struck by lightning.
Nifty.
Just fudge the timing a little bit. Or you could take this time to load something into your cannon and then just throw that thing next round once the container is there, and then you'd still have something loaded up.
How long does it take for the first lightning bolt to hit
like
the
you
thing?
Said I believe it's just pretty much instant, so
yeah. Alrighty. I like that last option best, loading something while I prepare this. So, this thing's just like, it looks like I'm wearing one on my torso, so I can just throw that at the start of my next round. This round, I suppose I will prepare my sandwich shooter with... Let's prepare it with glue. Because we don't know what is going to be in that thing and glue is almost always useful.
Okay. You go and you load up some glue and get that call lightning in your paw and you're ready. Okay. The various archers that are near you are going to try taking a shot at the rock that was on the left and is now retreating. They all roll not great. Thankfully, it's a pretty big target. So I'm going to say one group hits and does 20 damage. And the rock dips a little bit. It looks pretty damn hurt. But okay. So that was the round. A new initiative.
That's a 9.
Okay. We have Eldrow at 9.
7.
Jesse at 7.
4 for Grix and 8 for Steamboat.
We've got a 4 for Nacho and a 1 for Cool Ranch.
All right. Eldrow, you're up.
Okay, so the rock is looking bad.
Yeah, you're starting to lose sight of it behind the giant flaming container, but you still have a chance to get a pot shot off if you want.
Okay, I'm going to use one of my shots from my wand, my magic missile wand.
Okay.
And so at my level, which is 12, that's 1d6 per level.
1d4 plus 1 per level?
1d4? Okay.
There for magic missile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. I haven't used level. Magic Missile
it's every other level.
Every other level. Okay.
I'll look it up for you.
I'm sorry. I thought I was better at that.
Magic Missile. Let's see. 1d4 plus 1 hit points per damage per the per missile. Every 2 levels of additional experience past first level, the caster gains an additional missile.
Okay.
So 4 at 7th, 5 at 9th, and so you'd have 6 missiles.
6 missiles.
Or wait, no, because you're casting as 2 levels lower than you actually are. So you would have 4.
Two levels, which means one.
One less missile. So you have... Right.
I have 5.
Sorry. No, you do have 5, because 9. Yeah, okay. You have 5 missiles.
I have 5 missiles. Okay, thank you. Then I'm going to shoot 3 missiles at the wounded rock and 2 missiles at the other rock.
Okay.
Okay. So the first 3, 1, 2, 3. Four, or 3, which was 8, plus 3 is 11. So that was 11.
All right. That rock, what does it look like when you take this rock down?
Well, it's corrupted, so it's going to just kind of explode into a ball of ash and smoke.
Okay.
All right. And then I'm going to hit the other one with...
The remaining 2.
With the remaining 2, which is 6, plus 2 is 8.
Okay. You get that one right in the tail feathers, but it keeps on going.
Okay.
All right. Nacho Cheese.
What?
The container drops down in front of you.
Oh, no.
Smashes into the ground.
That's not good.
And you see that the front of it starts to open.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm just going to say. Okay, so the front of it smashes down. The front of it opens. Or at least kind of explodes outwards along with most of the rest of it. And you see the creatures inside, who appear to have been briefly pinned to the ceiling, kind of shove the roof off as a group as they finish lowering at a safe speed to the ground.
This seems like a fantastic time to throw a little bottle of something in there.
On your turn, yes. But I'm going to say, make an intelligence check to identify what these are. Well, they're corrupted, you know that much.
That's a 13 plus 12. 13, actually. That would put it at 26.
Okay. You go, you squint on in. The front row is your humanoids, various and sundry. Slightly different sizes, but all, you know, medium-ish. You're not sure if they're humans, orcs, elves. But the front row of 8 is carrying what look to be giant tower shields.
Nice and conductive. Yeah.
The row behind them, also your humanoids, various and sundry. Have spears, palberds, and other long-shafted weapons. But the thing that sticks out to you are the creatures behind them. They are big, they are brawny, and even through the shadowy corruption, you think you can see horns on the top of their heads. You would guess that those are minotaurs.
Oh.
And they are carrying very, very large hammers.
No.
Okay.
Well, all I see are lightning rods.
That's fair. All right. Steamboat.
Yeah.
You shoot out.
Yeah.
Yep. and you have made it to, or at least you're making it towards your friends. Actually, you're basically double moving every time. You make it to just above your friends. You can see the flaming container. You can perhaps catch a glance down into it, and you have a better view of everything else. You can also see the rocks retreating. That said, you also see that there is another pair of rocks that is currently rising over the edge. It would be behind the container from your friend's point of view, but they are there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go for the rocks, because I figure that's a danger that I'm better suited at dealing with.
Okay. Do you want to go for one of the retreating rocks or one of the two that's lifting in a new container?
Lifting in a new container. If okay. I'm going to drop it early and lose it, that'd be great.
Yeah. Do you want to go for the right or the left?
It doesn't matter. I'll go right. And
okay.
Yeah, I'll go right.
All right. You go. You dive on in. How are you going to attack?
If it's carrying one of the containers are made of... You described them as coconut earlier, but I didn't know if that was a joke.
That was Adam. They are
Adam described them earlier as a coconut. Yeah. I didn't know if that was canon.
I'm going to say they appear to be made of wood
okay.
with metal reinforcement.
All right. Then I'm going to try to pass just under it so that I can do a burning hands that will ideally catch both the wooden container and the rock.
The containers are probably too big for that. They are 40 feet wide and 15 feet deep.
Well, even a corner. Like, I want to catch the container on fire if I can.
Yeah, and hit your target at the same time.
Yeah, ideally. I'm not trying to, like, catch the whole container, but I figure carrying a burning piece of wood is not ideal
in
your
talons. Sure. I don't think you can hit the bottom of the container, but you could hit the side in one of the rocks.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that works.
Okay, so you swoop on it, make a piloting check.
Pretty good. 17 on the die, so 30.
Okay. You are right on target for your trench run. Okay, right. So you go. You pop the cork on your burning hands.
Mm-hmm.
Roll your damage.
Double check that.
1d2 plus 1 per character level.
Okay. That's a real fun thing to roll on the dice, but that's okay.
Yeah. You know, 12d2, the thing we roll all the time.
1d2 plus 1 per character level, you said?
Yeah, so you're rolling 12d2 and plus 12.
So 42.
Okay, let me roll something real quick.
No, that's not right. I'm sorry, because I rolled a d4, and so it's... never mind. Oh,
yeah.
that was bad math on my part. 27. 27 is the correct answer, not 42.
Okay, so you do 27 damage. Does get a save. It rolls butts. Might still be in.
Butts.
butts. Sorry, there's math. I'm going to resolve a tie in favor of the player. So, the rock on the right has a bad day and takes 27 damage. The container definitely catches on fire.
Wait.
The rain is not helping things, but so it's not going to be a blazing inferno necessarily, but you caught it on fire well and good. As you dive past the rocks and out into the open air around the arcs. All right, Jesse, you're up.
The one that was tossed up onto the arcs?
Yeah.
What is that one doing that we...
It is currently burning. You would assume it will open shortly, unless whatever it was intended for is no longer functional.
Okay. Are there any rocks still in range for me?
You can see the one that is retreating that is still alive from the initial container.
Okay.
Alternately, make a wisdom check.
That's a 32. I rolled a 19.
You think you see the very tip of one of the ones that's coming up with the next container?
I'll shoot at the one that's coming up with the next container.
Okay. Do you want to go after the same one that Steamboat just hit?
I think so, yeah.
I guess that would also be a big hint, is there is a giant, bright burst of fire from just under the level of the plaza.
Ah, I think there's another one coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll attack with my bow again.
Okay.
I rolled a 2. That's a 15 total.
It's a little too much of a trick shot in your attempt to... Oh,
but it's a shadow corrupted, so I get a plus 2 also. To hit. So
17.
So that's 17.
It is ever so slightly too much of a trick shot. No, wait. Oh, no. I was reading the wrong thing. You hit due to your hatred of Shadow Corrupted.
Yeah.
You go. It shoots. You clear the edge of the plaza by like 6 inches and hit the rock, presumably right in the head.
Yay.
Roll your damage roll.
That is an 8.
Okay. No save for that. Yeah, you hit that thing square in the head. Okay. Jesse, you're focusing on this thing, so you see it as it comes up. The couple of rocks that were lifting the second container go and drop it down behind the first one. Looks like they're kind of close to the edge, to the point that when the container immediately pops open upon them dropping it down, they're pulling away the ceiling, for lack of a better phrase. It folds open, or crashes open, with the walls slamming down on the plaza. The back one appears to keep going, break off its hinge, and just fall off the side of the arcs.
So the container falls off the side of the arcs?
Just the back wall. They were close to the edge that the floor is on the arcs, the part they needed to be, but if this container was reusable, it wasn't. It's not anymore.
Okay.
But the ceiling lifts off as the rocks start picking it up and walking away, or flying away. And Jesse, make a wisdom check to get a quick read of the situation. Because you're kind of looking through the burning container at this point. I think.
That's a 21 total on a prime.
Okay. You're not sure what's going on behind the container, but you do know that these two rocks are starting to fly over everyone, and that the ceiling of this container has a bunch of what looks like black stalactites hanging off of it.
Oh, no!
Oh, God, no!
And you know, with that wisdom check, that those are ropers. Everyone's favorite friend.
Is that the ones that make a dark area that and attack people?
These are ones that shoot out tentacles and drag people to them to consume them.
Oh. We've fought those ones also, though. Yes?
We were little.
Yeah, you fought...
That was a long time ago.
You fought a proper roper in early levels. And later on, there was the ceiling full of hanging tongues, but that was a different creature.
But we did fight a roper.
Yes.
I thought we did. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
It was in like a space where everything was kind of, where there were like a lot of these like hangy down bits and we had to sort of creep through them and it didn't work. Right?
I think that was a Severn encounter.
Was that the
time? I think you just fought an actual roper once. But at any rate, I'm pretty sure you fought one and their tentacles are hard to dodge regardless. So.
Okay.
And the rocks appear to be carrying them out over the army.
Okay.
But they're pretty much above you right now because they just didn't have a chance to go that far.
Jesse will yell, "Avoid the tentacles!"
What if we're into that?
Find Jesus!
All right. Grix.
Yeah. I'll try to navigate better.
Okay. Yes. Make another intelligence check.
Hey, much better. Much better. 20. Okay. Still not awesome for this level, but, you know, sure, it's fine.
I'm going to read you something you did once upon a time, and rest assured I'm not taking one of your spell slots. So you're casting this. You're concentrating on it.
Okay.
And through the magic of illusion, I imagine that you can bring up to reorient yourself a nice little diagram of the arcs.
Sure. I could burn one of those. Silent image. That's no problem.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you want one of those. You said you got a total of 20?
Yes.
If you're down to burn a slot on silent image, add a d6.
Ooh, yeah. 25.
All right, 25. That's real good. So, you go, you bring up this image of the arcs, including, you know, you've been memorizing maintenance maps for a long time and managed to figure out, okay, so you know, these neighborhoods are here, the stuff that I mapped in detail a million years ago is here, and I am here in the core, and the hallway goes that way. So you think you now know which direction the arcs is facing, and...
Good start.
And you, And your subconscious goes and puts a little blinking red thing on, little blinking red dot on your 3D projection that indicates where that tunnel you're trying to connect is. So you now have a better idea of, yeah, the way you're aiming this thing. And you don't know, you're not precision lined up yet, but because now you need to kind of orient it to like actual compass direction, something you almost never do. But you can now fully visualize like where everything is, and they know enough to at least start rotating a little bit. Based on the direction, they're pretty sure they need to go. So, you've started guiding it down. They're getting there. All right, Nacho Cheese Vons. In front of you is a giant, is a container. The remains of a container, smashed apart, that has what looks to be about 24 creatures coming out of it in a tight formation.
Well, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we do. All right. You toss your call lightning.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought you did that. No?
No, he didn't do that. He readied it.
Yeah, we were kind of preparing to, but we've got a sandwich shooter in one hand and a call lightning in the other.
That's what it does. Okay, so... Mm-hmm. Oh, fascinating. Okay, so the bolt is going to take an unobstructed path between a nearby cloud and the target. You're in a cloud, but I'm going to assume it comes from above you. Any creature within a 10-foot radius of the path or the point where the lightning strikes is affected. So you can't hit everyone in this container. You can hit about half of them.
Yeah, there are a lot of things.
So do you want to do the left or the right half?
I think we'll go for center mass.
Okay. Roll your 1d10 times 12.
1d10 times 12.
So I guess 12d10. Sorry.
12d10. Nice. 69.
Nice.
All right. That is so much damage. All right.
Hooray, so much damage. I mean, they were all holding conductive items.
That certainly doesn't help their case, no. Okay. If I did my math correctly, and I would never be so bold to say I did. Out of the many, many creatures you just hit, so you hit three rows of four creatures each. So a total of 12. The one on the back right is still standing, having dodged back, jumped back out of the way and not been hit by the worst of it because it was in, radius. So, it's been a bad day for all of them. So you just plow down pretty much the entire center of the group and heavily damage the remaining one.
Well, that's cool.
So how does it look when you kill all these things with call lightning?
I don't imagine you want to look directly at it. It's probably very bright.
Yeah, I think you know enough to close your eyes. A lot of other people are probably just temporarily flashbanged. But the thing that really hits you first is the smell.
Yeah.
A barbecue most foul.
Exactly.
Probably glancing back, there's probably a few piles of ash just in the shape of people.
The ones towards the center ended up being more of a pile of ash that as soon as the wind picks up starts getting pulled apart. The ones around the radius are just more
well done.
Poorly deep fried.
Oh.
Frozen turkey dumped into a barrel of oil, causing a steam explosion and injuring everyone who is dumb enough to try this. But thankfully, you are smarter than the people who try to put frozen turkeys in, 50-gallon barrels of oil.
Yeah, you gotta thaw that turkey, brine it.
That's right. All right. And all the people around you start getting ready to hit this thing that has hit this group that has dropped down in front of them. The rocks that were carrying the first container, or the remaining rock, goes into a steep dive and is back out of the combat area. Cool Ranch.
Mm.
Currently, above you are some rocks with some ropers. In front of you is a burning container. And that's kind of it. There's something behind the container, too, but you don't have a clear view because they dropped something else down back there. Do you want to wait until you see what's in the container that is currently on fire in front of you?
This is a busy battlefield. I think his first instinct is always going to be to know more about the battlefield first. He wants to be the smartest guy on the battlefield. So he's going to swing around and see if he can get an understanding of anything he doesn't understand yet.
Okay, you're going to be out of the front line, but that's not that big a distance here. And so you circle around, and you see something you've only seen in, because you're Cool Ranch, Vons, books, movies, video games, large, floor games that are not tabletop, but are in fact dexterity games, because what you see is a catapult.
Huh.
And they appear to be loading in, or I guess kind of. They're securing the catapult, and you see what looks to be a giant iron ball in the
basket,
prepared to be launched.
That was fast to construct or set up.
They probably just dropped it down.
I'm going to say it is sitting directly on top of the container, so that would be your guess, was that it was primed and ready inside the container.
Yeah, so I assume it's one of those smaller spring-loady kind, not a full-ass trebuchet. It's one of the little buggers.
Sheets probably more, yes.
More forward than up.
Yeah, that would be your guess for sure. This is definitely not meant to loft things. This is more forward. They'll still go a good long way.
Oh yeah. These things are generally good for when you're up close to a big wall or when you're dealing with infantry.
Guess what you're all relatively close to.
Yeah, Yeah. So, I mean, considering the situation, they'd probably have done just as well to bring a battering ram, but, you know, we can...
Not according to the way the rules are written.
Oh, no.
I looked.
Okay. Well,
battering rams are surprisingly weak. Though they're meant to go against doors, not walls.
And oh, yeah.
Your door so becomes a wall, which is inconvenient for the arcs.
Or that's for the different. Corruption. Yeah, they're trying to pierce through.
Yeah.
And the corruption knows a lot about the way that our defenses work, because they've been attacking us for 500 years.
And taking people.
Our crunchy candy shell. Well, what's operating the catapult?
Looks to be a group of 6 corrupted.
Just general humanoid?
Yeah, they all look pretty brawny, your guess would be. I'm actually going to say that they're real big and brawny. They look to be the... I'm not sure there's gnolls in this universe, but some sort of North American animal equivalent. Basically...
There's not moles?
Gnolls.
Gnolls.
Oh, yeah, sorry. There's not gnolls in this universe. I'm going to say it's basically giant wolfmen things that are the equivalent of gnolls. So, big, bipedal, brawny.
Also a little surprised about that, too. There's not gnolls?
There might be. I just haven't checked. That would be
really surprising.
Yeah, they're probably there. I live in a world where I assume Wizards has tried to claim a trademark on everything forever and succeeded. Mm. This may not be accurate. For example, there are canonically drow in this game, I found out. So, they're in the Monster Manual, which is fucked up, but they're there.
Little lycanthropes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that said, they don't seem to be paying any attention to you.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to run into that directly, but maybe I can sabotage the catapult.
I mean, they're around the catapult, so you're going to have a hard time of it.
yeah, but I'm sneaky. Maybe there's a way that I can get in close and see what is he carrying on him. Maybe he's got, like, some acid or something that can ruin that catapult if he gets it right. Well, if nothing else, he's got some blades. Maybe he can cut a rope or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Oh, and we've got sun grenades.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. It looks like he's carrying 2 jars of acid, so... Okay, so we're going to start this whole thing by taking a potion of invisibility.
All right. So you go, you run around, you see what's happening, and you take a potion of invisibility. You'll be able to move in next round and do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now that I've broadcast the plan to the DM.
Yeah, thank you.
Adam, do you want to tell me what the rest of your idea is so that I can put it in the notes and tell you next time?
Oh, good call. So the rest of my idea is to get in there, put a jar of acid into the works of the catapult. Because it's got to have a crank and relies on rope and stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, just going to put some acid into the works of it so that it effectively stops working. And that will trigger when they try to fire it or when they try to crank it or prepare it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get some distance and use one of those sun grenades.
Okay. Yeah, they might get off the one shot they're working on, but... I guess it depends on which way the spring breaks and if you go before them. But yeah.
Yeah.
You would still ruin the mechanism and they wouldn't be able to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Great.
So Jesse and Weldrawa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In front of you, the container front crashes open.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps less gracefully than originally intended as the creatures move extremely quickly out of it. Because it's, you know, on fire.
Are they on fire?
Gonna say, you see a couple in the back ranks dropping to the ground and rolling as...
Stop, drop and roll!
Front rank reforms itself. That said, among these, again, there's the front rank mostly has tower shields, although it looks like maybe some people swapped around. There's a rank with spears, and then, flowing in between them and not bothering to stop themselves from being on fire for the ones that are...
Oh.
Giant... Cats? Jesse, make a wisdom check.
Giant cats?
Yes.
In back of...
You think they were probably the back rank, but they've run out between the front ranks and are closing distance with all of you out of the group that came out of the container.
And the group that came out of the container was just like normal melee?
Yeah, it's mostly tower shields, or like shields with swords, and then a spear line behind them, which is pretty standard. The giant cats are not.
Okay. Wisdom?
Yeah.
That is 19 on a prime. Though, all right. I have expertise in shadows.
Okay. What does that do? Does it give you a bonus?
I'm just telling you that I have expertise in shadows, and maybe you should be nice to me.
I see. All right, Jesse, you see these things moving. You know that they are not, they're way too big to be, you know, your panther, your mountain lions, your pumas. Certainly not your lynxes. You would guess that underneath that shadowy, corrupted covering that falls off them like smoke is a tiger.
No.
In fact, several tigers.
Shadow tigers.
That are charging the front line and will probably collide with you all next round.
Okay. Cool.
And also, now that that's open, you can see the catapult that is being ready to fire behind the still burning container.
Great.
All right. And then, last but not least, I do not go to L in the monster manual. I go to D, because local teen is not actually a monster description.
Sure.
Sadly enough.
Maybe not in your neighborhood.
Is that the sort of thing that would be an enemy in that one that you are always reading with, the over the edge?
What? The edge? What would be?
Local teen. Would that be a type of enemy?
Maybe. Hooligans? Sure.
Sure. I don't know. I was just thinking about what settings local teen would have a local would be teen. Yeah.
I am trying to figure out what she would do because the catapult one has landed. They're carrying whatever the hell the ropers are going to do over everyone else, though. So that's probably the biggest threat right now that someone doesn't have handled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's two different things. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, sorry. It looked like she had a breath weapon that was both like a cold attack and also paralyzed everything. And that seemed extremely overpowered. So, also not that, doesn't know that much. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's still a teen.
She is, it's true. Okay, so she goes and she pulls up alongside the two rocks that are carrying the ropers. And as she flies past them, she lets loose her breath weapon across both of the rocks and does 56 damage.
Ouch.
Wow. That's a lot.
Don't fuck around with dragons. Not that any of you were planning on it.
Yeah, I remember that old saying.
Yeah, you know, we're all familiar with that. We've all thought that. Okay, dexterity saves for both the creatures. One of them makes it. Okay, you see one of them dip down and look like it's on its last legs, even with the whole shadow corruption thing going on. And then the other one is still flying. All right. And then all around you, there were a lot more of these containers, obviously, than the ones you were focusing on. So all around you, you see the guardians clashing with the creatures that are marching out or trying to shoot at the rock. So presumably they cannot come back with more containers. Everyone's engaged at this point. And I guess the last thing we will do real quick is Jesse, Cool Ranch, and Weldroa, roll d20s and just tell me what you get.
Cool Ranch nailed an 18.
15.
5.
All right. The ropers don't pick on any of you as they start shooting at tentacles to grab people.
Well, thank goodness.
Let's make sure I resolve this part correctly. All right. Yeah. All right. So behind you, you hear a familiar yelp.
Vons?
Now someone's name proves incorrect. And Lucky is grabbed by one of the ropers and starts getting dragged into the air.
Oh no!
And that's where we'll pick up next time.
Uh-oh.
Jeez.
Oh no! That's terrible!
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian, who is me. Thank you, me. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute. Right. Math occurs. Lots of math.